Okay, so let's unpack this. I want you to picture, the classic investment dream
The white picket fence, the rental
to
property.
exactly. You buy a property, find a good tenant, and then every single month, like clockwork, a check just shows up. It's the gold standard of passive income.
Supposedly.
Supposedly, because anyone who's actually tried it knows the reality is, well, it's usually a nightmare. You need this massive down payment, credit checks, banks.
Oh, and the 2.0 AM phone calls. My favorite.
The 2.0 a.m. call because a water heater just exploded and flooded the entire basement.
It's never quite as passive as it sounds, is it?
Not even close. So what if there was a way to get that rent check, that recurring monthly cash flow, without buying the building, without the mortgage, and definitely without the plumbing disasters?
Okay, I'm listening.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into a strategy called Rank and Rent SEO. We're breaking down this guide by Craig Riley, Rank and Rent SEO, the complete guide to building digital real estate. And honestly, reading it felt a bit like finding a cheat code for business.
It really does sound too good to be true at first glance, but when you strip away all the hype, what we're talking about is a really logical shift in how you make money online. It's about moving from being a service provider to being an asset owner.
Right, digital landlording. I love that term. But before we get into the weeds of how to actually do it, we should probably clear up what this model is. Because when I first heard rank and rent, my mind immediately went to like spammy websites.
No, not at all. It's a lead generation business, pure and simple.
Okay.
The concept is actually really straightforward. You built a website for a specific service in a specific city. Let's use an example. Say tree service in Dayton, Ohio. You use SEO, search engine optimization, to get that website to the top of Google.
No.
So when someone in Dayton types in tree removal near me, they find your site.
So I own the site, people find it, and they call the number on the screen.
Correct. But here's the twist. You don't own a chainsaw. You probably don't even live in Dayton. You take those phone calls, those are leads, and you forward them to a guy in Dayton who does own a tree service business. And he pays you for that steady stream of customers.
So you're the landlord of the website?
And he's your tenant. Instead of renting out an apartment, you're renting out a digital billboard that actually rings his phone. You own the digital real estate.
I love that concept. But I have to play devil's advocate here. There are a million SEO agencies out there. How is this any different from me just helping Bob the Tree Guy get his own website to rank?
That is the million-dollar question. And the answer is leverage. In the traditional model, client SEO, you're working on their property.
You're fixing up Bob's website.
Exactly. You're building links to Bob's domain. If Bob decides next month that he wants to cut costs or he just doesn't like you anymore, he fires you, what happens then?
I lose the income.
You lose the income, and Bob keeps all the work you did. You improved his asset. You were basically an employee without benefits, trading your time for money. Now, flip it. With Rank and Rent, you don't build bobstreeservice.com. You build DaytonTreePros.com. You own the domain. You own the content. You own the phone number.
So if Bob stops paying me,
You just redirect the phone number to Steve's Tree Service down the street. The asset, the website, the stream of customers, it all stays yours. You don't lose the income stream. You just swap the tenant.
that is a ruthless shift in the power dynamic.
It really is.
It's a difference between being the contractor who fixes the house and being the landlord who actually holds the deed.
And it solves the biggest headache of the agency model, client retention. You don't have to beg them to stay. You have something they need, customers.
Okay, another thing that popped into my head was affiliate marketing. I feel like I hear about that constantly, Make a blog about the best running shoes, put in some Amazon links, and retire. Is this just that?
They're related, but they live in very different worlds. Affiliate marketing usually targets these huge national or global terms. If you try to rank for best running shoes, who are you competing against?
Nike, Runner's World.
Yeah, massive company.
Exactly. Amazon, publishers with million-dollar budgets, it's a bloodbath. Good luck getting on page one.
Right.
But Rank and Rent is hyper-local. You're not trying to rank for best plumbing tools globally. You're trying to rank for a plumber in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And what's the competition like there?
Usually it's local businesses with websites that look like they were built in 1998. Seriously. Sites that aren't mobile-friendly have no content. Sometimes it's just a Facebook page ranking. The bar is so much lower.
So you're a big fish in a small pond instead of a minnow in the ocean.
Exactly that.
Okay, I'm sold on the concept. I want to be a digital landlord. So the guide breaks this down into a really systematic workflow. And it seems like step one, choosing the niche in the city, is where most people go wrong.
It is the most critical phase. Riley really emphasizes this. If you pick the wrong market, it doesn't matter how good you are at SEO, it just won't work. You have to find that sweet spot.
So let's drill down on that. What makes a niche a sweet spot?
Okay, three main things. First, high ticket value. You want to generate leads for a service where one single job is worth a lot of money.
Like a roofer.
A roofer is a perfect example. One roof replacement could be $10,000. If you send them a lead that turns into a job like that, they're more than happy to pay you 50 or 100 bucks for it.
As opposed to, what, a pizza shop?
Exactly. A pizza is 20 bucks. They can't afford to pay you $50 for that customer. The math just doesn't work. So you're looking for roofing, tree service, concrete, fencing, that kind of stuff.
Okay, high ticket. What's number two?
Urgency. You want services where people don't spend 3 months doing research.
Like an emergency plumber.
Yes. If your basement is flooding, you don't read 10 blog posts about plumbing theory. You search emergency plumber near me, and you call the first number you see.
You just want the water to stop now.
Right. High urgency means high conversion. And the third thing is it needs to be phone driven. You want businesses where the sale starts with a phone call. That's crucial because calls are so easy to track, which proves your value later on.
Got it. High ticket, urgent, phone driven.
So what about the city? Can I just pick New York City or London and I'm good to go?
You could try, but you'd probably fail.
Mm.
Major cities are just way too competitive. You want to aim for that Goldilocks zone. You know, populations between about 50,000 and 250,000 people.
Big enough for customers, but small enough that the competition is weak.
That's the idea. And you can see that weakness. You literally search your keyword, like tree service Dayton, Ohio, and just look at page one. If the top results are Yelp or Angie or a Facebook page.
That's a green light.
That's a massive green light. It means Google is struggling to find a real authoritative local website to show people. A dedicated site can beat a directory pretty easily. Okay, so we've picked our niche. Let's stick with tree service in Dayton. Competition is weak. Step two is building the actual digital real estate. Now, be honest, I'm not a coder. Do I need to go learn Python or something?
Not at all. And that's a really common misconception. You're building a lead generation tool, not a piece of modern art. Riley suggests WordPress. It's the standard, but the key is function over form.
So it doesn't need to win any design awards.
No. It needs to load fast, look clean, and have a huge phone number right at the top of the page.
Mm.
The guide also suggests using what's called a partial match or exact match domain.
Okay, what do PMD and EMD mean in plain English?
An exact match domain would be DaytonTreeService.com. A partial match might be something like DaytonTreeServicePros.com. But the point is, the domain name itself tells Google and the user exactly what the site is about. It gives you a little head start in the rankings.
And what about content? Do I need to be writing a blog every week?
Not really. You just need authoritative service pages. So you don't want one page that just says, we do trees. You want a separate page for stump grounding, another for tree pruning, one for emergency tree removal.
Why separate them like that?
Because people search for specific things. Someone might search stump grinding Dayton. If you have a whole page just about that, Google is way more likely to show your site than a competitor who just has stump grinding in a bullet point list.
You're casting a wider net for more specific customers.
Oh, that's it.
Okay, so I've built DaytonTreeServicePros.com. It has the pages, the big phone number. But right now it's just a billboard in the desert. Nobody sees it. How do we actually get it to rank?
This is the SEO part. You've got your on-page SEO, which is the foundation, your title tags, your headers. But the real fuel, according to the guide, is off-page SEO. It's backlinks.
And backlinks are just other websites linking to mine, right?
Correct. But not all links are created equal. The guide points out a really specific tip here that is gold for local SEO, local relevance. Getting a link from some generic business directory is okay. But getting a link from a local church in Dayton, or a Dayton community blog, or maybe a local high school sponsor page. That is incredibly powerful.
Because it tells Google, hey, this business is actually part of this community.
Exactly. Signals local authority. You combine that with some standard citations, like listings on Yelp and Yellow Pages, and you start to climb.
Okay, let's fast forward. The site is ranking. People in Dayton are finding my site. They're calling the number. Now we get to the fun part, the money. How do we manage the handoff to the business owner?
The first step, and this is non-negotiable, track everything. Riley warns, never, ever rely on the business owner to tell you how many calls they got.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think I got maybe one call last week.
Exactly that. They're busy people. They're not keeping a spreadsheet for you. So you use call tracking software like CallRail or Twilio. You put a special tracking number on your site.
Okay.
When a customer calls it, the call forwards to the business owner's real phone, but the software records it, logs the caller ID, everything.
So you have receipts.
You have undeniable proof of value. You can say, here is a recording of Dave calling to ask for a $2,000 tree removal job. You can't argue with that.
So with that proof, how do you approach them? You don't just cold call and say, give me money, right?
No, the guide suggests a much smarter approach. The free taste.
The drug dealer model.
Essentially, you call a local tree service and you say, hey, I've got some calls coming in from people looking for tree work. I can't handle them. Can I forward them to you for free for a few days?
Who's going to say no to free customers?
Nobody. So you send them calls. They land a job. They make money. Then you call them back a week later and say, hey, glad those worked out. I have more coming. Do you want to keep the tap on for a flat monthly fee?
That completely flips the conversation from, trust me, this will work, to please don't turn it off.
Exactly. And when it comes to the fee, there are three main ways. The best one is usually a flat fee. You say, I'll rent this entire site and all its leads to you for $500 a month. Okay. That is the most stable. It's true passive income.
Set it and forget it. That sounds like the best option.
It usually is. The second is pay-per-lead. Maybe $50 for every qualified call. This can be more lucrative. 20 calls is $1,000, but it's more admin work. You have to listen to calls, invoice them, dispute the spam. It's less passive.
And the third.
Commission.
Uh-huh.
A percentage of the job. The guide really advises against this for beginners because it requires so much trust. You have to believe they're being honest about what jobs they closed and for how much.
Yeah, that sounds like a headache waiting to happen. So flat fee seems to be the winner. Now let's talk about the margins. Why is this model so powerful?
Your costs are fixed and they are incredibly low. Hosting is maybe $10 a month. The domain is $10 a year. The tracking number is $5 a month. So you're running this whole asset for maybe $30 a month tops.
And renting it for?
Depending on the niche, anywhere from $500 to $2,000 a month. The margin is like 95%. And once it's ranked, it's very little maintenance. So you take that cash flow and you build another one. Rinse and repeat.
Okay, it sounds fantastic, but this is a deep dive. We have to look at the dark side. It cannot be this easy or everybody would be doing it. Where do people crash and burn?
The biggest hurdle, by far, is the Google Map Pack. You know when you search for a local service and the first thing you see is that Mac with three little red pins at the top?
Yeah, I almost always click one of those three.
Everybody does. That's the prime digital real estate. But to get in there, you need a Google business profile. And to get that, you need a verified physical address in that city.
And if I'm in London building a site for Dayton, Ohio, I do not have an address in Dayton.
Exactly. And Google is very strict. They mail a postcard with a code to the address to verify it. This is, without a doubt, the hardest part of the process. You have to get creative or partner with a local business right from the start.
Okay, so that's hurdle number one. What else trips people up?
The sandbox. And just patience, really. New websites often sit in what SEOs call the Google sandbox for like 3 to 6 months. Google just doesn't trust new sites right away.
So you do all this work, you build the site, you write the content, and then nothing happens.
Crickets? 4 months. And this is where most beginners quit. They give up in month two, right before the results were about to kick in. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to work for free up front for that payoff later.
That's a tough mental game. It's farming, not hunting.
That's a great way to put it.
But let's look at the long term. Say I build 10 of these sites, they're all rented out, I'm making great income. But I want to, you know, really retire. Can I sell these things?
Yes, that's the beauty of owning the asset. These are sellable. Marketplaces like Empire Flippers or Motion Invest, they sell these kinds of sites all the time.
And what kind of price do they get?
Typically 30 to 40 times the monthly profit. So if your site is making $1,000 a month clear profit, you could potentially sell it for $30,000 or $40,000 up front. It's a real exit strategy.
Wow. So you build the cash flow, collect it for a few years, then cash out for a lump sum. That really completes the whole real estate analogy.
It really does. You can hold it for the rent or you can flip it for a profit.
Okay, let's bring this all together. What are the absolute key takeaways for someone listening who is thinking, I need to try this?
First, it's about ownership. Stop trading your time for money. Build assets that you control. Second, go local. Don't try to fight the giants. Win the small local battles where the competition is weak. And third, track everything. Data is your leverage. Without tracking, you have no proof.
And I'd add, pick that niche carefully. Don't try to rent a site for $20 haircuts. Go for the $10,000 roofs.
Absolutely essential. The math has to work.
You know, a thought that struck me reading this guide, we talk a lot about passive income. We all want that beach lifestyle, money while you sleep. But this model makes it so clear. True passive income isn't magic. It's just front-loaded active work.
That's a great distinction. You build the house once, the website, the SEO, and that takes a ton of active, unpaid effort. But once it's built, you can stop working, and the rent just keeps coming in. It forces you to ask yourself, you know, are you building assets that will pay you later, or are you just selling your hours today?
That's the question to chew on. Are you building a pipeline, or are you just hauling buckets?
Precisely.
This has been a fascinating look into digital real estate. A huge thank you to Craig Riley's guide for the roadmap, and thank you for breaking it all down with us.
My pleasure. It's always fun to look into the hood of the internet.
And to you listening, thanks for diving deep with us. Go check your own local search results. You might just spot a digital gold mine right in your backyard. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.